Father, I pray as we consider your word that you will guide our hearts, our minds, and our spirits and teach us what we need to know. Amen.
Amen.
Please sit down. Now, a couple of Wednesdays ago, we were discussing the line of a hymn in our home group. And the line was, "Here I raise mine Ebenezer, hither by thy help I'm come." Now, I think I've mentioned this before because it's a line that sticks in my memory. It sticks in my memory because I remember singing it as a new Christian and wondering what on earth I was singing about. Here I raise my Ebenezer. What? Well, I had no idea at the time what an Ebenezer was, but I was soon enlightened that it was a large stone that Samuel placed to commemorate a victory that the Lord had given. Other times, Joshua and Jacob erected similar memorials. Ebenezer simply means stone of hope, and it acted as a memorial to remember, thus far, the Lord has helped us. So, when we are talking about raising our Ebenezers, we're using a picture in remembering how the Lord has been with us up to now, so we can trust him for the present and for the future. Some Ebenezers are personal. We've all got our own Ebenezers that we can look back on as memorials. Some things we remember together. It's good to raise up Ebenezers. And this is one of the reasons we follow a liturgical church year, because it's absolutely littered, isn't it, with Ebenezers. Easter and Christmas are perhaps the two most remembered. We have many more. A couple of Thursdays ago, it was Ascension Day. And as Rob said, today, we remember Pentecost, the birth of the church. Now, later this year, St. Martin's celebrates its 50th anniversary. And it's great for us in Poynton to give thanks for the placement of a new church. But today, Pentecost Sunday, we remember something much greater. We remember the birth of the church, born of the Spirit of God. You might remember the reading we had a couple of weeks ago. Jesus' last words to his disciples before he ascended are recorded in chapter 1 of Acts. "You will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be my witnesses both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria, and even to the remotest part of the earth." Now, today's reading from Acts shows us how that came about, how they received power. So the immediate physical manifestations were a noise like a violent rushing wind, as we see in verse 2. And in verse 3, the appearance of tongues as of fire, distributing themselves, and they rested on each one of them. And I think that clearly shows that Pentecost was a special, unique event at the birth of the church. The immediate effect on the disciples we see in verse 4. "They were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit was giving them utterance." Now, the remaining 7 verses of today's reading goes to great lengths to explain how many different nationalities were present, how many different languages. Yet, we read in verse 6, each one of them was hearing them speak in his own language. Now, I don't think that means that John spoke in one language, then Peter spoke in another language, then Thomas spoke in a different language, and so on. No, I think it meant that, for example, when Peter stood up to speak, everyone who was there heard him speak in his or her own language. Just as the Lord had confused language at the Tower of Babel, which we can read about in Genesis chapter 11, he now reversed this for this special event of the birth of his church. Now, although speaking in tongues is also mentioned as a gift of the Spirit in Paul's letter to Corinthians, We can see from the context that this is different from what happened at Pentecost. It's true that the same word glossa is used, as it's also used to describe the tongues of fire in verse 3. But we can see from the context in which the word is used that it's describing different things. It's a bit like we've recently looked at James, haven't we, and seen the same word can be used for trial, test, and temptation, depending on the context. Well, sounds of rushing winds, tongues as of fire, and a reversal of the Tower of Babel are not what we'd expect from a normal church service. The day of Pentecost was a special event in history. We may need revival in our land. We do need revival in our land. We may pray for a mighty work of God's Spirit, but it won't be another Pentecost. The crucifixion, the resurrection, and Pentecost were all once for all events. So, if this is the case, what do we receive from today's readings? I'm going to just mention 4 points. So the first teaches us that when the Holy Spirit was given for the church, he was given for each one of us. We receive the Holy Spirit as soon as we become true believers. Do you remember our reading from John's Gospel that we had recently? Jesus said, "I will ask the Father, and he will give you another helper, that he may be with you forever. That is the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive because it does not see him or know him. But you know him because he abides with you and he will be in you." Now, in the Old Testament, the Spirit came upon people. He came upon people, but not in the sense of abiding in them. Up to Pentecost, the Spirit of God had been with the disciples, but now he abided in them. Pentecost marks the moment when the Spirit of God took up residence permanently in all believers. The second thing that Pentecost reminds us is that the church is a work of God. It's not a device of humans. Some people today, they look at dwindling congregations in this country, even though the reverse is true in other countries, and they say that soon the Christian church will have died out completely. Well, it won't, because the Holy Spirit, who gave birth to the Church of Christ, will keep his church alive and revive his church, as he has done throughout history. It may be that certain movements and denominations die out, but the church belongs to God, not to humankind. We often hear it said these days that you can be a Christian without needing to belong to a church. Well, Pentecost teaches that's not how God planned it. I know some people say that being a Christian does not mean becoming involved in formalized religion. Let me ask you a question. Have you come to church today so you can be involved in formalized religion? No, you haven't. I hope not anyway. We're here to meet as the body of Christ through the power of his Spirit. It's not about whether we have a liturgy or a free service, whether we sing old hymns or modern songs, whether we have formal prayers or open worship. All these things can help or hinder, depending on our own preferences and our own personalities. But they're not definitive of church. What matters, it's what's going on in here, in each one of us, inside us. That's what church is about. So first, 2 points so far. The first, the Holy Spirit indwells in all Christians. Secondly, the church is God's creation and all Christians are called to be part of it. Now, the third point I'd like to make concerns prayer. And that's in our second reading that we had. Well, it's our first reading, wasn't it, that we had today from Romans. And that's on page 165, I think. So if you wouldn't mind just turning to that. Let's have a look at verses 26 and 27. In the same way, the Spirit also helps our weakness, for we do not know how to pray as we should, but the Spirit himself intercedes for us with sighings too deep for words. And he who searches the heart knows what the mind of the Spirit is, because he intercedes for the saints according to the will of God. Now, we read in the Bible that Jesus, standing at the right hand of the Father, is standing interceding for us. The Holy Spirit intercedes in a different way, because he is here with us, in us. His Spirit to our spirit, interceding with us, interceding for us. Now, sometimes we might pray, Lord, please give us good weather for our picnic. We might even pray, if we've got the faith, for Swindon Town beating Preston North End, but I doubt it. Well,
please do.
I probably need a lot of prayer. Well, it's fair enough to pray things that we'd like. We know what we'd like, and it's fair enough to pray for it. We don't always get the good weather at picnics, and Swindon Town don't always win every football match, but we can pray for things that we'd like. But sometimes we can be so perplexed, so unable to put things into words, and we might even know not how we should pray. That's when we need to take time before the Lord, and the Holy Spirit will intercede for us. He will meet us in our spirit. And sometimes, as we do this, thoughts and words will be formulated. Sometimes we may still not have a clear understanding after we've been praying, but the Holy Spirit will witness to our spirit and bring peace, the peace of God that passes all understanding. My final point this morning is that the Spirit of truth makes us receptive to God's word. When I was a teacher, I became perplexed by the way our society seemed to think that education was the answer to all its problems. If there was a national problem, put it in a national curriculum. The national curriculum just got bigger and bigger and bigger as more and more got incorporated into it. More sex education, more drugs education, citizenship, and so on. I'm really not sure that it made much of a difference. Teaching doesn't necessarily change people, but Christian teaching should change people who are indwelt with the Holy Spirit. If we are open to not being conformed to this world, if we're open to being transformed by the renewing of our minds, then we will be able to receive what is the good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Christian teaching is effective because the Holy Spirit in us confirms the truth of that spirit, that teaching. Right, so I've covered 4 points. Now I'll just recap what they were. The Holy Spirit abides in every Christian. All Christians are called to be part of the church, created by and sustained by the Lord. The Spirit helps us and intercedes for us in prayer. He opens our hearts and our minds to receive his truth in Christian teaching. 4 points. There's obviously much, much, much more. But these 4 points are good points to remember. We also need to remember that it's a partnership, even though we by far are the weaker partner. The Holy Spirit won't intercede with us in prayer if we don't pray. He won't lead us into all truth if we're not open to the truth. He won't make God's word come alive to us if we don't read God's word. He won't bless us in meeting together if we don't meet together. But praise God, if we know Jesus, then the Holy Spirit is here in each one of us, ready and waiting.